Write On Audio, the podcast for writers and all who are interested in books, literature, and the printed word. Write On Audio is the weekly companion podcast of Write On magazine and the Write On suite of publications from Pen to Print. Subscribe by searching Pen to Print in your favourite podcast app to have new editions delivered to you each week. This is a Write On Audio showcase. This month's showcase is selected by Write On's Mirabel Lavelle. Originally from Malta, but now living in the northeast of England, Mirabel is a writer, teacher, and mentor. This is her second Write On showcase. Here's Mirabel to introduce her selections.
Hello, I'm Mirabel. It's my pleasure to bring you four different voices from the June showcase. The first is written by a teacher for deafblind children. It provides a great insight into the bond between teacher and child.
Jenny, aged 5, arrived in my class with a wide grin, which belied her lack of eyesight. In fact, owing to her suffering retinoblastoma, a cancer of the eyes, she had no eyeballs at all. To see the bare pink sockets was a shock at first, I must admit, but her lively personality endeared her to everyone. She soon became the class leader, reminding me to put on my coat if we were going outside, or reaching out to another child she sensed was nearby. Finding their hand and grasping it confidently, she would squeeze it and squeak with delight at finding a friend. Negotiating her way around the classroom, she settled in quickly and loved her lessons. She announced her arrival every morning with a cheery hello and an excited wriggle. Jenny would recognise my voice with ease. Facial expressions and body language were meaningless, but a voice was a reliable guide in many situations. Most of the children were boarders, including Jenny. Part of my job was to check the younger children were settled at bedtime. As I tiptoed through the dormitory, Jenny would call out in a stage whisper, "Night, miss!" How did she recognise my footsteps? Gym lessons could be stressful. The children had no fear of heights or sense of danger. The gym was across the hall and up 2 flights of stairs, with a landing in between. This didn't faze Jenny one bit. She led us across the hall, counting the steps till we arrived at the stairs, where she loudly counted the 8 steps to the landing. There she paused, calling out, "Boys' toilet!" with a triumphant bang on the door. Counting the next 8 steps, she announced our arrival at the gym door with another hearty bang and, "Here we are!" I was glad she couldn't see me giggling. Jenny was incredibly dexterous and could already tie her shoelaces unaided. When the head teacher realised this, he would untie her laces and ask her to tie them again to show visitors. Jenny obliged, but after the 3rd visit, she demanded loudly, "Why does that man keep making me tie my laces?" My answer wasn't particularly inventive. I explained it was because she was so clever. Luckily, the visitors had already left. The day arrived when Jenny was to have her first prosthetic eye fitted. After a long morning's wait, finally, the door opened and there she stood, grinning shyly. One bright blue eye gazed unseeing towards me. It was an emotional moment, although she had to wait a few more months to receive the other artificial eye when the socket had grown sufficiently. On the day she returned from the hospital wearing the 2nd artificial eye, her grin was wider than ever when I told her how pretty she was. "I know," she smiled. "I know."
Thank you, June. The next is by Thomas Nixon. Floods, changing environment. Let's listen.
Island Nation. It ruled this world long ago. It was a pilgrimage, a peak for man to conquer. Its summit cut through the clouds, its apex blotting out the sun. It was the envy of whatever nation claimed it. A site that commanded awe from those who understood it, demanding worship for those who did not. But when the floods came, it watched its kingdom disintegrate, slowly then rapidly, its body once immovable becoming trapped as land became ocean. Now it is merely a speck, a novelty on which passing boats cast their eyes, never once considering the sprawling, majestic kingdom buried beneath.
Thank you, Thomas. The third piece is beautifully written by Hayley Pittman.
Syrup unspoken, spectral touches. I'll let you have it, that piece of me, if you'll understand. Glass houses of four chambers, vain barbed wire. Don't let me be buried in that cemetery. Will haunt me on the nights I kill you. Relaxing snores, oxycontin embraces. The pillar of ice that you built will melt so easily. Just turn up the heat. Let me be better. Let me marry you, and I will fix all of our problems with plaster and masking tape. 5-gallon faucet ducts, borderline belly-aching begging. You stay because you know my glass house. You've lived in it in the summer, when no one knew what to do with the insulation. You used me for energy.
Thank you, Hayley. My final choice is by the Maltese poet Nicole Piscopo.
I want to be caught up between the branches of your legs and forge a forest path of autumn leaves through your arms. My future is 5 seconds from this moment when you will cup my cheek. And I will bend my mouth towards you, like a tree towards the sun. It is a week from now, and I'm braiding your fingers through my hair, and wondering what sunlight must taste like to the potted aloe veras on my windowsill, and if, at night, they wonder whether it will come back. My future with you is a timeline bent out of shape, a kaleidoscope of possible realities. Your arms around me are a different time zone, and I can no longer care to look at the clock. But my survival instinct is kicking in, telling me I've grown too comfortable, telling me that the sunshine won't last, telling me to store up while I can for days it won't come. And yet, all I want to do is make a hammock between your arms and sink into your skin. Because I'm too young to be this cynical, and I'm tired of pretending naivety doesn't taste good. So maybe it was never about the future, because time is relative, and so are you. And we are vines wrapped around each other's forest floors, and you are someone worth surviving the drought for.
Thank you, Nicole, and everyone who submitted their writing to Pen to Print. We value your submissions, so please do keep sending them in. Bye from Mirabel.
Thank you to Mirabel Lavelle for selecting the pieces in this month's showcase. The readers were Sally Walker-Taylor and Chris Gregory, and the pieces were by June Gowland, Thomas Nixon, Hayley Pittman, and Nicole Piscopo. As always, we'll print details in our show notes. We're always delighted to read your contributions. So if you'd like to see your words in Write On or hear them on this podcast, please get in touch. We'll share this link and all others mentioned in today's podcast as part of our show notes. I've been Tiffany Clare, and you've been listening to Write On Audio. Write On Audio is produced by Chris Gregory, and it's an alternative stories production for Pen to Print. This podcast is supported using public funding by Arts Council England.